Hey guys, we hope you're enjoying the experience so far. But if you're looking for more ways to partner with the church, there's four simple ways to do so. The first way is you can give online. You can visit watersedgegathering.com and click on giving. From there, you'll be led to eGive, our online giving platform. Or you can text to give. You can text or give to 337-223-9003. From there, you can enter your dollar amount, and then you'll be led to on-screen instructions. Or you can give into the church app. Make sure to go to your app store, or if you get apps from, and look for the church app. It'll be a white icon with a gray cross. And within the church app, search Water's Edge Gathering. From there, click give, and you can give your tithes and offerings. Or you can give through mail. You can do so by mailing Water's Edge Gathering at P.O. Box 572, Lake Charles, Louisiana 70602, or Water's Edge Gathering at 2760 Power Center Parkway, Lake Charles, Louisiana 70607. We love you so much. We hope you enjoyed today's message from Pastor Tony.
What's up, everybody? Good morning. Welcome to our Sunday morning online experience. We hope you've had a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in today. We really think this is going to help you out. Let me ask you a question. What makes you happy? I mean, deep down, what really makes you happy? And really, as we think about that question, we should probably ask another question, and this is what it is. What causes you to feel so unhappy so often? Because a lot of people out there today want to be happy, but there's so many different things in their life that they think makes them feel unhappy. I remember a time in my life when I felt really unhappy. It's when I had a multiple sclerosis flare-up, MS, and I was in the hospital for about 6 days. And for 5 days, they had IVs in both arms, man, putting them in different places, pumping me full of medicine and steroids. I had a heart monitor on for 3 days. And I remember laying in the hospital bed thinking, I'm not happy. I feel unhappy because it feels like I'll never be back to normal. A few moments later, Jackie walked through the door with Tony's Pizza. That made me really happy. Tony's Pizza always makes me really happy, especially those fried raviolis. Man, those things are from heaven. I promise you, they're from heaven. But I didn't get happy because of what she brought. It wasn't the pizza or Tony's Pizza or fried raviolis that made me happy. It wasn't what she had that made me happy. It was who came to see me. And it was her. She's the one who made me happy. And so today, this is what I want to talk about. I want to talk about what truly makes us happy. So again, here's our question today. What really makes you happy? Now, many of you think that you know, or you think that you have a pretty good idea of what really makes you happy. But today, forget about all that. Forget about what you think you know about happiness, and forget about what you think you know about what really makes you happy. Because today, in this message, and this may sound a little bit offensive, but today in this message, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to be the one that tells you what really makes you happy. And the reason why we're in this message today is because some of you, maybe many of you, you really don't know. You really just don't know what the key is to happiness on the inside and lasting joy. And you keep trying to find out what makes me happy or who makes me happy. And that's kind of how we know that there's a problem, because we're always on this search for happiness. Like I've told you so many times before, I haven't met many people that are really on a search for truth. I haven't met many people that are really on a search for holiness, but almost everyone I meet, they're all on a search for happiness. And let me just say this, if you keep trying to find out what really makes you happy, then understand this morning and remember this. Maybe you don't know how to be happy. It seems like there's so many people that I meet out there today that have been so sad for so long that they've gotten used to that feeling, that they become almost addicted to that feeling of sadness, because it's one of the only things that they feel. They have felt discouraged. They have felt depression. They have felt unhappiness for so long that it's really one of the only things that they feel, that they've gotten hooked on it. And so deep down, after this time goes by, they really just don't know how to be happy. If you keep trying different things, then maybe you don't know how. Now, social media and TV and the culture and the world will always try to sell us on these ideas about what will really make us happy. And let's be honest, many of you have fallen for this, and so many times I've fallen for this too. If I could just have that new job, then I'd be happy. If I could just get that new TV, then I'd be happy. If I could just drive that new vehicle, that new truck, that new car, that new SUV, then I'd be happy. If I could just go on vacation to that new spot, then I'd be happy. If I could just live in that new town or in that new city, if I could just buy that new house, then maybe I would be happy. Finally, I would be happy. And honestly, it just never works out that way. No one in this world can really market or sell to you happiness. And because of that, as a result, nobody even really knows where to get it. But in this message today, we're going to talk about it, and hopefully it'll help us out. So let's get started, and remember this today. If you're still with me, say I'm still with you. Being happy is more about who than what. If you want to know the key to happiness, being happy is more about who in your life than what. It's not about what in your life. It's about who in your life. Think back to elementary school. Think about the happiest times of your life as a kid when you were growing up in elementary school. I remember I had a best friend named Kent, and we were happy. We were happy kids growing up. And I remember when we would play with the other neighborhood kids outside in the woods or in the neighborhood, it's not what we had, because that was back in the 80s and we didn't have a bunch of fancy stuff. We didn't have a bunch of high-tech stuff, but we had each other. And so a lot of times we would go out in those woods and we would play with sticks and we would build trails and we would build tree houses and things like that. We'd play hide and go seek, but it's not what we had that made us happy. It's who we had. We had each other. And so if you could get something today to make you happy, then all you would have to do is go out and get that thing. If happiness is about the what that you have, if it's about something, then the key would be just go out and get that thing. But it never works out that way because, and remember this today, needing something to make you happy always leads you to needing something else. That old phone used to make you happy until the new model came out. That old car used to make you happy until the new model came out. That old relationship used to make you happy until something different came along. Listen, some of you are married and you've just hit your 40s and you're thinking about divorcing your spouse so you can trade them in for two 20s. I mean, it's just like every time something new comes along, you think that you need that in order to make you happy. And it never works out that way. And so remember this. And this is so crucial. And this is so important today. If your happiness fades because something or someone gets old to you, then you were never happy in the first place. Now, know this. No one says this when they're in the hospital and they're saying their last words and they're going to breathe their last breath and their life is almost at the end. No one ever says this, "Hey, can y'all bring my truck to the hospital? I want to make things right with it before I leave this earth. I love that truck. Hey, could somebody bring my couch to the hospital? I just want to say goodbye to it. I got so many good memories with that couch. I just want to say goodbye to it. Hey, could somebody bring my computer up to the hospital? I just want to say goodbye. I love my computer. I just want to say that." That never happens. No, this is what we ask for when we're on our deathbed. We ask for our husband, our wife, our sons, our daughters, pastors, friends, people that we've hurt so we can make things right with them. In the end, we all know this. It's not about what. It's about who. Now, some people say this all the time. And listen, I hear this all the time from so many people. And this is what they say. "I don't need anything or anyone in my life to make me happy. I don't need anything or anyone in my life to make me happy." There's usually only two different types of people who say that. The first type of person is this. They have a lot of good people in their life, and they've always had a lot of good people in their life. And so they really don't know what it's like to not have people in their life. And so they want you to think that they're tough, and they want you to think that they don't care what other people think about them. And so they say things like, "I don't need anything or anyone in my life to make me happy." But the fact is this, they've always had people in their life, good people in their life. And so they don't know that. But there's other people who say this, and these are people who are isolated. And they've made themselves isolated by their choices and by their emotions and by their reactions. And they don't know how to fix it. And so in the end, they say things like this, "I don't need anyone in this life to make me happy." But deep down, they know they're probably not fine. They just don't know how to fix it. Listen, when we can't fix what we want, then most of the time we try to convince ourselves that we don't want it. And that's why a lot of people today are holding on to their sadness and their depression. They really want happiness, but they don't know how to get it. They really want happiness, but they don't know how to fix their isolation. They don't know how to fix their sadness. They don't know how to fix their depression. And so deep down, they try to convince themselves that they just don't need all that happy stuff, that they're just fine. But deep down, they're not fine. So let's go back and try to answer our question today. What really makes you happy? What really makes us happy? The answer has two parts. The first thing is this. You're still with me. Sam's still with you. Number one, remember this. No thing will ever make us happy in this life. Happiness is never about what you have. It's always about something else. The second thing is this, number two, peace. Peace on the inside is what really makes us happy. Extreme peace. Show me a person that has extreme peace in their mind, extreme peace in their emotions, extreme peace in their heart, in their soul, in their life, in their disposition, in their relationships, and I will show you a happy, happy person. At the end of the day, happy people are people who have peace on the inside, which means on the inside, they're fine. They're at peace with themselves, no matter what they have in this life or what they don't have. They're at peace with God, no matter what they have in this life or what they don't have. They're at peace in their relationships. They're at peace with themselves. They're at peace with other people, no matter what they have in this life or what they don't have. They're at peace with God. They're at peace with Christ. Extreme peace on the inside, no matter what they have or what they don't have. Now, if all of this is true, then remember this today. Anything that steals your peace will ultimately steal your happiness. If the happiest people in the world are people who have extreme peace. Now think about this. Think about this today. Trace back your sources of depression and unhappiness. This is why you have, and you know this. It's because you don't have peace. And if you could get peace in your life, back in your mind, back in your heart, peace with yourself, peace about the future, peace about your life, peace in your relationships, then your happiness would increase. But one of the main reasons that you feel like you don't have happiness in this life is because something robbed you of your peace and something stole your peace. And so anything in this life that steals your peace from you will always rob you of your happiness. Let me explain it to you in this way. When we make a decision that hurts our peace, it hurts our peace with ourselves, with others, and with God, that automatically becomes a regret. Let me say that again. This is where regret comes from. Anytime you do something in this life, and anytime you make a decision in this life that robs you and steals from you your peace, peace with yourself, peace with others, peace with God, it automatically becomes a regret. And the reason why you regret it so much is because it stole your happiness. And the reason why it stole your happiness is because it stole your peace. Now, let me ask you a question. Why talk about this in church? Why talk about this as we relate this to our walk with Jesus Christ? I can't tell you how many times I've been to a church growing up and I've heard a preacher or sat in a Bible study and heard someone say, God's not concerned with your happiness. God's concerned with your holiness. The bottom line is this, you don't have to separate the two. Maybe Jesus wants us to be holy and happy. Maybe Jesus is deeply concerned about your emotions. Maybe Jesus is deeply concerned about your thoughts. Maybe Jesus is deeply concerned about your feelings. Maybe Jesus is deeply concerned about your dreams. Maybe Jesus is deeply concerned about your fears and your uncertainties. Maybe Jesus is deeply concerned about every single detail in your life, the big ones and the small ones. And so, yes, God is ultimately concerned with your joy and with your happiness. And so this is why we talk about this in church, because as Christians, we've known this one crucial truth from the very beginning, and this is what it is. And remember this today. You're still with me, so I'm still with you. Peace with God paves the way for you and I to have peace with ourselves, and it always equips us to make peace with other people. Let me say that again. Peace with God always paves the way for you to make peace with yourself, and it'll always equip you to make peace with other people. Check this very familiar passage out in Matthew chapter 22 as we look at it in a very new way today, Matthew 22, starting in verse 36. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Now, the person asking this question was a religious expert in Jewish law, a religious expert in Jewish law. So he approaches Jesus and he says this, "We've known the commands, but I want to know, what do you think, Jesus, is the best command, the highest command, the greatest command?" And then I want you to understand something. Before Jesus answers the question, we wouldn't really think about a law or a command in our life that makes us happy. We wouldn't think about laws and commands in that way. When we think about laws and commands, we don't think about those things that produce peace and happiness in our life. But in light of everything that you and I just talked about how peace creates happiness, I want you to filter all of that through what Jesus says next. Notice this in verse 37. Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment," verse 39. "The second is equally important, love your neighbor as yourself." So here's the key. The key is love, not rules, not commands, not laws, not burdens, not do's and don'ts, but love. And what does love involve? Other people. Love always involves you and someone else. It involves relationships, and not just like romantic relationships, but relationships with other people in general. It involves how you relate to the other people in your life. Now, love doesn't seem very commanding, does it? And love doesn't seem very demanding, does it? Since God loves you, love Him back. Since God wants to make peace with you, make peace with Him back. And if you love God, then you must love other people. In fact, love other people as you love who? Yourself. In other words, have peace with God, have peace with others, have peace with yourself. Three things. Have peace. Make peace with God, yourself, and others in your life. Question. Focus. What is it in your life right now that's robbing you of having peace with God? You know what it is. I probably don't need to tell you. It's something that you've probably known about for a long time. But you know it's there. You've struggled with it for a long time. So what is it in your life? Is it your anger? Is it your depression? Is it your reactions? Is it your attitude? Is it your judgmental thoughts about other people? Is it some sort of temptation? I don't know, whatever it is in your life, what's robbing you of peace with God? The second thing is this, what's robbing you of having peace with yourself? You know what that is too. And the third thing is this, what's stealing your peace between you and other people? What's causing all the division, all the tension, all the heartache? And so Jesus said, the key to true love and the key to true peace is to have peace with God, peace with others, in the same way that you have peace with yourself. Now look right here. Sounds like Jesus wants us to be happy, doesn't it? Because peace produces happiness. I've never met a depressed, peaceful person. I've never met someone who is severely sad and just in turmoil and sat them down and said, "Man, tell me what's wrong." And then them tell me this, "Well, I have so much peace in my life that I just don't know what to do about it and I'm really sad." No one's ever told me that. When you meet a peaceful person, you meet a happy person. And so when Jesus comes along and Jesus says the key to peace is loving God, loving others, and loving them like you love yourself, it sounds like Jesus wants us to be happy. Happiness and joy should be at the core of who we are as God's people. So let me ask you this, what's separating you? What's separating you right now from peace in your life with God? Peace in your life right now with your spouse, with your lover, with your family members, with others, with yourself. That action will steal your happiness because remember, love is about relationship. So make peace with God, make peace with others, and then make peace with yourself. And if you can do that, those three things, you'll be happy. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning. We love you. We hope you have a great week. Let's pray. Father, today we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for being a good God who wants to give us peace. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. If you think about it, our unhappiness in our life, the sadness that we feel constantly, sometimes the depression that just overwhelms us on the inside, most of it is tied to a struggle, some sort of battle, some sort of war that robs us of our peace, peace within ourselves and with ourselves, peace with God, and peace with the other people in our life. If it's true that peace with God paves the way for you to have peace with yourself, and it equips you to make peace with others, if that's true, and the Bible teaches that that is 100% true for people who love and follow Jesus, that peace with God paves the way for you to make peace with yourself, and it always equips you for you to make peace with other people. If you could trace back your source of unhappiness today, most of it is because peace was broken. Peace was broken between you and yourself. Peace was broken between you and God, or peace was broken between you and someone else. But we're not like everyone else. We're followers of Jesus Christ. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God.
We hope you guys enjoyed today's online experience. If you have social media, make sure to follow us at Water's Edge Gathering on Facebook and at Water's Edge_LC on Instagram. And don't forget the church app, where you can listen to online messages from Pastor Tony, you can do online giving, and listen to worship music from the Water's Edge Band. We hope you guys have a fabulous week. We absolutely love you.